everybody. Thank you for tuning into the Cassandra Aaron Show. Well, I'll be doing my podcast, Lift Your Hands Up. And lock it in. Stay tuned. Don't go nowhere because I got some photo shoots coming up. I got some videos of me trying to be cute in the wintertime. Lock it in right here. Well, God has put it in my spirit to do a podcast called Lift Your Hands Up. Because in the midst of what we're going through, it's very dark right now. And it's very heavy. It's very weighty. People don't even know which way to go, which way to turn. If you're not homeless, you're jobless. If you're not jobless, you're callless. If you're not callless, you're sick in your body. Many have transitioned on to the Lord. People are stressed out. People are worried. People are disappointed. People don't even know how they're going to get their next meal. I'm telling you right now, in the midst of it all, we got to continue to lift our hands up because God wins. God wins all the time. My Bible tells me in the book of Revelation that He already won and He has defeated our enemies. So I want you right now to lift your hands up and praise Him even when you don't want to. Tune into my podcast every Sunday at 2 o'clock p.m. I'll meet you there. God bless you.
Cassandra Aaron's promoting her latest book, Shaking My Head at These So-Called Church Folks, and Don't Let the Hole Break Your God-Given Purpose. Come show your support, tell a friend, or purchase the book on www.cassandraaarons.com.
Yep, this is the spot.
The book is a great tool against the enemy. For more information, go to the Cassandra Aaron Show on Facebook, and remember, God has a blessing for you.
All right. Thank you for tuning in to the Cassandra Aaron Show. One more time, hands up. You know that this show is dedicated to my mom because you know my mom passed away. And one thing about my mom, she would lift her hands up in the midst of the storm. She would lift up hands up when she was sick, when she was encouraged, and when she had the joy of the Lord. So I want you to know on today, lift them hands up. I don't care where you may be. I don't care what you may face, and keep them hands up. Also, I have a special guest with me, Pastor Jeffrey Mills. Also, man of God, I've known him, for some time, but I have known him to be a preacher. I have known him to be a teacher, and I have known him to be a great, great family man. And without any further ado, we're going to introduce to you Jeffrey, Pastor Jeffrey Mills. Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
One day at a time.
One day at a time.
One day at a time by His grace.
Amen. And truly, we need a lot of grace in this season.
Yes, yes, yes. And how are you, my sister?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I just take one day at a time. So, Pastor.
It's beautiful.
Pastor Jeffrey Mills, we all going through stuff with our families, and we going through stuff financially. And a lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of people are homeless. A lot of people just dying because of just pure cold. You know, the pandemic got a lot of people. People have transitioned on. People are sick in their body. What can you say to somebody right now that's going through this challenging time?
Well, our optimal word for the church today is faith. Mm. We know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we need to have confidence and assurance that what we desire is up ahead, even though we cannot see it. And though many things are going on around us, we sovereignly and providentially hold everything in his hand. We have to always remind ourselves to be committed to the will of God, his way and his word.
Okay. Okay. I appreciate that. Now, you know, you've been in the faith for a long time. And you're still in the faith because you just told us to have faith. Now, what brought you to the Lord? Was you always in the church?
No. I was growing up. I went to church as long as my mom took me. When she stopped going, and I don't even think I had made it to being a teenager, I quit going too. But as my conversion did approach and time came, I was in the service, started becoming more and more interested in the faith and walking with Christ. But Satan had other plans for me. And I used to listen to a radio TV evangelist named Herbert W. Armstrong of the Worldwide Church of God. And I would get all of his literature and books and stuff. And because I was in the service, I traveled a lot. So okay. I would get his stuff mailed to me. And I thought I was in the faith. I thought I really knew the Lord. But I come to find out after I got out of service that I wasn't there yet. But I didn't find out until I was witnessed to by a real, genuine Christian. Mm. And this young lady.
Okay, stop right there. When you say, now you you put an emphasis on that. You said a real, genuine Christian. I mean, like, I gotta laugh. Because you know, it's some. All right, go ahead and continue. So you met this genuine Christian.
Yes. Well, you know, the Bible is clear. The Lord said that in that day there would be many false prophets. And in these days, many false teachers. So millions and millions of false teachers. We know the scriptures tell us that broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way and few there are that find it.
That's
so
right.
We know that there are many emissaries of Satan working to, if Jesus said, were to even get the elect off of the right path. And so this young lady and I would work together. We worked together, and she would debate with me every day the teachings I was being taught. And to tell you how unique my conversion was, she told me one day, give me $20. And I said, $20? I said, for what? She said, so I can get you a Bible.
Wow.
I had all this literature from the Worldwide Church of God, but I didn't even have
a Bible. Wow.
And she went out and bought me a Bible. And then you can see the providence of God. Once I got that Bible, I started reading it. But then one day I worked at the phone company and I got a repair call from a church that said their name was the Church of God. Well, that's one of the hooks that the Worldwide Church of God would use. It was, they essentially said that in order for you to be in a true church, you have to have Church of God in your name.
Wow.
And it just so happened that the pastor was on the phone that called in for his repair. And I said, were you affiliated with Herbert Armstrong? And he said, no. And the next thing he said to me was very profound. He said, I know you don't have time for me to tell you, but go out and get a book. And I went out and got this book, and it was called The Kingdom of the Cults. And in that book, it had all kinds of different religions, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Scientology, all of these different cultic organizations. So the providence of God, first I get a Scofield Reference Bible, then I get the Kingdom of the Cults, and then I have 8 hours a day to sit and read those two books. And I literally had to go home and repent on my face before the Lord to share that I did not, what I thought I knew, I didn't know.
Wow.
And so that when I finally accepted salvation, which literally came from the fact that the year before I got saved, I had been to 4 funerals in 1 year, and there's not a better evangelistic tool than to go to a funeral. Mm. And so God moved from that funeral to that young lady, to that pastor that shared with me, to those books, to me finally confessing and giving my life to Jesus Christ.
Amen. What a wonderful testimony. Let's just jump right into the topic, love. How does that look to you? Let's read 1 Corinthians, 13. Can you read that real quick?
Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Verse 4 reads, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Verse 6, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all. Verse 8, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child.
What do that mean to you? What is God really saying? Because, you know, a lot of times people use that scripture as a control mechanism. So what is God saying through that? What is God speaking?
Well, it's throughout scripture, we know that God is love.
Yep.
So here in this 13th chapter, it addresses the love that is conveyed by the attribute that God has to his people, who are we. Mm-hmm. Everyone is capable of loving in one fashion or another, because God, in making man in his image, gave us that attribute. So what is love? That's the ultimate question. I have a simple statement. Love is giving a person what they need and not what they want.
Okay.
And we know that from John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, we know that even though the world needs love, most of the world does not want love, but yet God still gave it.
All right.
And so we have to illustrate it by showing what God's real attribute of love should be like. And that, which really starts in the 4th verse.
Okay.
Talking about suffering long. You can see that in Jesus.
Okay.
It's kind. Now, that word in the Greek, kind, means useful. It's not like he's a nice guy or she's a nice girl, but kind means useful. When we give people enablements by saying, well, you run into someone on the street and they say, can I get some money to get something to eat? Mm-hmm. And they take it and go get something to drink.
All right.
Did we really help express love to that person, or did we just enable them to do what they were doing that caused them to be in the situation they're in? So love is important. You know, I'm sure God would be well within his power to give through the word love, everybody millions of dollars. But would that really help everybody?
All right.
I think not. So when love is kind, it's got to be something that's useful. And then he talks about what it is not. Doesn't envy. Doesn't parade itself.
Right.
You know.
Right.
See that in Jesus. Was Jesus envious? No. Did he parade himself? No. Was he puffed up? No. Did he behave rudely? No.
That's right.
Did he seek his own? No. So love is personified mm-hmm. in God and should be amplified in us.
That's right. So what can you tell a church who does not operate in love?
Well, the question is, and I preached this last Sunday, is mm-hmm. it the church or is it a church? There is a difference.
That's right. That's right. So
the church is Christ has it as his the head of that church. Mm-hmm. But if it's a church, you can be anything. You can preach or teach whatever you want in mm-hmm. a church.
All right, come on.
But you cannot do that in the church. And I think the church will always have love as its center post. You know, even Jesus said that in Matthew, I think the 16th chapter, around the 18th verse, he was speaking to Peter, and he said, Peter, little stone, mm-hmm. I'm going to put you on top of me. I'm the rock. Mm. And I'm going to build my church with little stones just like you. And so we all need to be stones that we are building up the body of Christ. So what do you tell a church that doesn't express love? Well, there's a church in Revelations, the 3rd chapter, I think the 1st verse, called Sardis. That church had works indeed, but Jesus pronounced to them that they were dead. So we got to see the life and love in the leadership and in the fellowship. Mm. So that's what you tell a church. You go into that church, if you're there long enough, if you don't see that, then you're at a church and not the church.
Ooh, I like the church.
Right, because the church is the definite article.
Yes, right.
Like the Lord.
Right.
The God.
Yes.
But a church is indefinite article. It could be any.
Right.
Anybody can have a God.
That's right.
Anybody can have gods.
Right.
You know, idols to that person is a God. Mm. But if you truly believe, then you'll want to attend the church of the living Christ. Mm. The church of Jesus Christ, which is his body.
Amen.
Now, if you get into a church, you'll find all kinds of things going on. There's denial of even salvation by grace. They deny the inspiration, inerrancy, and absolute authority of the Bible.
That's right.
At a church.
At a church.
They'll deny the creation, historicity, Adam and Eve. We can go down the list.
Right.
Of things a church will promote.
How did you learn how not to operate in love? Like on a personal tip, what taught you to love? I mean, how did you come to a loving relationship with God and a loving relationship with his people? You know, how did you come to that?
I stopped just reading the word and began to study it.
All right.
And once you study something, then you try to emulate it. And Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 1 says that we are to imitate God as dear children. If you are a child of the King, you're going to act like him.
All right.
We're ambassadors for Christ, so we want to tell people not what I think or what I feel or my position, but I represent a king and a kingdom. Mm. And everything that goes on in that kingdom, and with that king, I got to express to the people that I'm my ambassadorship is too. So when you become, as I became, a Christian apologist, 1 Peter 3:15, it says to be ready always to give an answer. Mm-hmm. And that Greek word means a defense for that hope that lies within you. I committed myself to expressing not my thoughts and feelings or express my ways. I said I'll do it his way, one way.
All right.
My ministry, if I had a name for my ministry, it would be called One Way Ministries, because there's only one way.
All right.
And the sad thing is, with religion, there's multitudes of ways, and they're all leading to the same place, and that's hell.
Whoa. Now, Romans 11:29, read that one verse for me real quick, because we got to close.
Oh, we got to close. Okay. Romans 11, and you said 29.
Yeah.
For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. That simply means that God has blessed his talents. There are, well, we just lost Rush Limbaugh, who used to say, talent on loan from God. That was one of his catchphrases.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have our talents and gifts on loan from God.
Mm-hmm.
And they're irrevocable. Now, that does not mean that you can't be shut off, put on the shelf.
That's right. That's right.
You still got the gift, but if you're not operating in that gift, the one that gave it.
And love. In love. You gotta have the. You can have all the gifts. The Bible says, "I'm gonna say, get away from me, you workers of iniquity," because we operated in all these gifts and all these talents. But he says, "I'm gonna say, get away from me, you workers of iniquity." You are so right on that one. And then let's go ahead and close on 2 Timothy 3. Did we 1-5?
And it reads, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times would come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away." That's the hour we are living in today.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, and this is just my position, with so many churches buying into the COVID pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, a pandemic has to have two aspects. One, it has to be everywhere, so we'll give it that.
Mm-hmm.
But two, it's got to kill a whole lot more people than have died from it.
Mm.
And we know that it's being used because they have been padding the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
People are not dying from it. They're dying, a lot of them, with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're 80 years old and you catch a cold before COVID, you could die from that.
Mm-hmm.
It leads to pneumonia and death.
Mm-hmm.
But they have heightened the fears and they have heightened the anxiety so high,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, and they're using this too. But it's all preparatory for what I believe is the coming end of the age.
Okay.
And these things you would see in the end of the age. These are perilous times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And lovers of themselves, do anyone need to show you how people love themselves and love money and they're boasters and proud and disobedient to parents and unthankful and unholy,
mm-hmm.
unloving?
Mm-hmm.
You see that word in verse 3, unloving, takes two words in the Greek. One word, it's a compound word. It's like family love.
Mm-hmm.
How many mothers today do not love their children? And I'm not talking about ones that are born. I'm talking about the ones they get rid of.
Mm.
We are living in a real pandemic of abortion. You don't hear anybody talking about that.
Mm.
You don't hear it being even discussed from the pulpits because it's not conducive to the mission that the church is saying it's about, which is what? Name it, claim it. If you can believe it, you can achieve it.
Hmm.
When we ought to be back to the basics of saying that God is pro-life, not Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, not any color lives matter. God is pro-life. The Bible said he is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all would come to saving faith in Christ Jesus.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you, Pastor Mills, for joining me. And with that being said, just let people know it was a pleasure. I always enjoy you. Now, can you let the people know where they can find you, how they can reach you, and how they can support you?
Well, I'm on Facebook. If you want to look me up on Facebook, it's just simply Jeffrey Mills, Jeffrey Mills, MILLS. I'm on Facebook. Sharing with a church in Cleveland that is looking for a pastor, and if I get that church, I'll have all that information posted on my Facebook page. Like manner, I don't fool with the my Gmail account a whole lot, but I can be reached there if anybody's looking forward to needing to contact me for anything in that nature. And certainly they can contact you. You have my information also.
Amen. Well, again, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. That concludes our interview. And, you know, I want to add something, Pastor. You know, I always say a church that have everything, don't have love, have nothing. But a little church that might not have everything, but have love, have everything. So God bless you. You be safe, and prayers to you. Keep me in prayer as I keep you in prayer.
Well, you know you know how I feel about your work, and it's outstanding. The community is far blessed because of what you do and have done. And every time I see you doing something, you know, I'll make a comment because I'll say, that's my girl working out there.
Amen.
Blessing the community. Amen. And you keep on doing that.
I appreciate you. All right.
On his way back.
Amen. We better get tight. Bye. All right. Talk to you later. All right. Amen. All right. God bless.
Hey, everybody. It's Akeem Towns here letting you know that you can find the Cassandra Aaron Show on streaming services such as Anchor, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and Spotify. New shows are updated every week, so make sure you subscribe to the Cassandra Aaron Show to stay up to date on the newest shows as they're made available. For more information about the show or to reach out to Cassandra Aarons directly, email her at cjaarons@gmail.com.